Good morning. Yeah, that was pretty good. All right. It's so good to see all of you here this morning. My name is Pastor Tracy. My name is Tracy. Everybody calls me Pastor Tracy, but you could actually just call me Tracy if you want. I am one of the pastors here. And if you are new with us here today, or relatively new, thank you for being here. I would love to have the chance to meet with you and connect with you after the service. So please come find me. I guess for those of you who have been around for a while, like I guess I could talk to you too if you want. But I'd love to connect with any of you. And so we are meeting all together, which is so awesome, and we have the kids in here, which is awesome. And one of the reasons for doing this, we're kind of treating July as kind of like a Sabbath month for the church. So meeting all together means that we don't have to have as many volunteers, and having the kids in here with us means we don't have to have as many kids volunteers. And so it's just a nice month for us to kind of slow down a little bit. But another reason, and if you've been around the past couple of weeks, you know this, another reason why we are together for this month is because recently we as leadership kind of recast and revamped the mission and vision of the church. And so into what we hope is just much more like clear and hopefully even more compelling. And so this month, what we are doing is kind of preaching through and focusing in on our new mission and our new vision statements in particular. And so, again, if you've been over here the past couple of weeks, you've heard Pastor Steve kind of work through the first couple of vision statements. You've heard him kind of mention all of those. And we're going to do that again this morning before we kind of jump into the sermon. We want you all to like hear this stuff over and over and over again, because we want you to know exactly what we are about here at Great Commission Community Church. And so you may not remember, you know, all five of the vision statements verbatim or anything like that, but we want you to know what we're about. We especially like would love for you to kind of just embrace and be able to share with others, like especially our mission. It's kind of like an elevator kind of a speech, right? Like if you're searching for a job, one of the things you need to have is like an elevator speech. So if you have 30 seconds in an elevator and somebody asks you like what you're all about or what you're pursuing, you need to be able to tell them in a very short and brief statement like who you are and what you're about. And so our mission statement is just that. So we would love for all of you to embrace that, to digest that, to know what that is. And so this morning we're going to go through that again, and I'm going to kind of read down through these. So here's our new mission statement. At Great Commission Community Church, our mission is to live out our name by making disciples who are committed to Christ, His community, and His cause. And so even if you can't remember that whole mission statement, what I hope you will hear in the coming months over and over and over again is this idea of kind of what will become our kind of like our tagline: Christ, community, and cause. So we hope that you'll hear that. Everything is going to kind of be filtered through Christ, community, and cause. We want everything to be done for Christ. We want everything to be done in community. We want to join Christ in His kingdom cause in the world. And so I hope you'll hear that. So that's our new mission statement. And here are five vision statements, okay? Vision statement number one: we envision many people experiencing new life in Jesus Christ. And Pastor Steve preached about that just 2 weeks ago. Number two: we envision people of all backgrounds and ages, empowered by the Holy Spirit, pursuing Christ-likeness together through God's Word, prayer, and worship. And last week we heard about that one. This week we're going to talk about this one. We envision people living in authentic Christian community where we grow in love for God and neighbor. And then number four, next week we'll talk about that we envision reaching the least reached people groups with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the DMV region and the ends of the earth. And then finally, number five, we envision greater realities of God's kingdom in the DMV region as we participate in His redemptive work in our broken world. And so hopefully those are clear. I mean, we're unpacking them partly because we want them to be clear. And so hopefully those are clear and compelling to you. And so, as I said, we're going to be focusing on vision statement number three this morning. We envision people living in authentic Christian community where we grow in love for God and neighbor. And so we're going to start this morning with something that is very unique. Maybe it has never been done in church before. All right, so kids, raise your hand. I want to know that you're listening. Kids, all right. Kids, okay. So kids, this morning, and parents, bear with you, it's going to make sense, okay? Kids, this morning we are going to play a very quick game of hide and seek. Okay? There's two rules. One is that you can't go out into the hallway. Okay? So you can't go out the doors. Second rule is you can't come up front or like go up on stage. Okay? So we're playing hide and seek. I am going to close my eyes and count to five. So you have to kind of stay in your general area. Parents, you can help me out with this. I'm going to and adults, you can play too if you want. I'm going to close my eyes, count to five, and then I'm going to open my eyes and I'm going to come try to find you, kids. Okay? Are you ready? All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. Ready or not, here I come. Some kids are just not. They don't want to play. Okay. Very quickly. Oh, man. Oh, I see you guys. I see you. Kid, oh, you didn't even hide. Okay. Oh, I see you. Some kids didn't want to play. That's okay. I see you. All right. Are there any kids back? Oh, I see you guys. All right. I see you. All right. I see you. All right. I think I found most. Oh, Sadie, I see you. All right. So I found most, although there's some over there. All right. So kids, like some of you, that was like pretty good. Some of you are like good at hiding, right? And so kids, you can get up and start working on the assignments, those notebooks that Miss Erica gave you as you came. Oh, Thornton's. I mean, amazing. I didn't even. Awesome. So get your notebooks and start working on the assignment that Miss Erica gave you, right? But some of you did a great job. You're like really good at hiding. Right? Yeah. I loved playing hide and seek growing up. And I like, you know, I feel like I was pretty good at hiding during a game of hide and seek as well growing up. Adults, here's the thing. Some of us are pretty good at hiding also, aren't we? And I think you get that I'm not talking about the game of hide and seek when I say that. So this morning, what we're going to look at, I mean, there are so many things we could talk about when we talk about this idea of authentic community. It's one of my biggest passions, so I could talk about it for hours. But what we are going to talk about this morning with this idea of authentic community is that authentic community begins to happen as we come out of hiding and enter into one another's story. Authentic community begins to happen as we come out of hiding and enter into one another's story. Why is this vision statement an important one to have as a vision statement? It's important because it is actually like fundamental to who we are as human beings. We were actually like created for community. We were created for authentic community. We were actually created from community as well. We were created in the image of God, and God is in three persons, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God exists in community. And so as we were created in that image, we were created from community and we were created for community. And vision statements number one and two can't fully happen without it. Envisioning people experiencing new life in Jesus Christ, we can't fully experience that new life only in isolation. And envisioning people pursuing Christ-likeness, we even say pursuing Christ-likeness together, right? Because we can't fully pursue Christ-likeness only in isolation. It can't fully happen without this idea of community. There's a guy named Larry Crabb, and he writes this about the future of the church in community. He says this: the future of the church depends on whether it develops true community. We can get by for a while on size, skilled communication, and programs to meet every need, but unless we sense that we belong to each other, with masks off, the vibrant church of today will become the powerless church of tomorrow. It'll become stale, irrelevant, a place of pretense where sufferers suffer alone, where pressure generates conformity rather than the Spirit creating life. That's where the church is headed unless it focuses on community. And I agree. I agree with that assessment. Well, in order to understand this idea that authentic community kind of begins to happen as we come out of hiding and enter into one another's story, what we have to see is that this is not just some pithy phrase or some idea that we came up with. This is actually like God's heart. This is straight from the heart of God. This is actually His example. He sets the tone for this. He sets the example for this. And ultimately, you know, I talk about entering into one another's story. Ultimately, it's His story. And so that's what we need to see first and foremost. And so in order to see that, we need to actually go like way back to the beginning of the creation of the world, the beginning of God's story in Scripture. And so if you have your Bibles or your devices, you can turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to look at specifically verses 7 to 10. Genesis 3, 7 to 10. And as you're doing that, just some very brief context, right? So God has created everything at this point. God has created man and woman. He's created Adam and Eve. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." The man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, when I shared like the theme and the passage of Scripture for this morning, Erica replied and said, "Just FYI, you know, we're having kids in there, and so the fact that the passage says like naked like three times, like you might get some giggling and stuff." So I get that. It's okay. It's okay. The man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. We can't even imagine what that is like. Because even though that's the way it started, then very quickly sin entered into the picture. Very quickly, they kind of messed things up. They disobeyed God. Brokenness came. And so in Genesis 3, verse 7, we see this. After sin entered the picture, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And so they started out being naked and feeling no shame. And then as sin entered the picture, in verse 7, all of a sudden, their nakedness was like a negative thing. They felt like exposed because of their sin. And whereas before they had felt no shame at all, now they felt deep, deep shame. They were so ashamed. So much so that they felt like, you know, like something needed to be covered up. Right? And there's this shame, and what's going on here? And something needs to be covered up. And so they attempted to kind of cover themselves, right, with fig leaves and making loincloths for themselves. The eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked. Verse 8, so we're kind of walking through these verses together. Verse 8, the first part of verse 8, you know, I mean, so, you know, God knew what happened, right? I mean, He is fully aware of what's going on here. He's not, you know, unaware of what is going on. And so God knew what happened, knew that sin had entered the picture, knew what was going on, and yet He decided to continue to enter in to their story. He actually, he didn't have to do that, right? I mean, he's God. He created everything. I mean, he could have just as easily decided to just disengage at that point and say, all right, well, you guys screwed up. I'm done with you. I'll just go start over somewhere else. I'm God. I can just create something else somewhere else. I'll just maybe do humans again or something else. Who knows? He could have just totally disengaged at that point, but no. Rather, he entered the mess. He met them where they were, right? They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He came to meet them where they were. And this is the example that God gives to us, because we always have that choice also, don't we? Sometimes when, you know, we get a glimpse, right? We can kind of get a glimpse of somebody's story. We engage with them for a little bit, and then we realize, I don't know, kind of messy, you know? And we have that choice. We can just kind of disengage and say, like, hey, thanks for telling me your story. See ya. Or we can choose to, like, enter in, right? To enter into the mess, to meet them where they are. And entering into this kind of relationship, this kind of true community relationship, it takes time, right? It takes energy. It takes sacrifice. We have brand new neighbors that just moved in a few weeks ago. We're in a townhome, so they're literally connected to us, right? And so this is the choice that we had when they moved in. We could kind of stay in our house and kind of look out the windows and, like, they're moving in and, a couple kids. I don't know. They look kind of, you know, weird or whatever. We could have done that, right? Or we could choose to just, like, to jump in. And so, like, you know, this time we chose to just jump right in. So we just went right over. I mean, before we knew it, their kids, who are the same age as Will and Sadie, they were in our house, like, most of the first day that they were moving in. I was in their house more the first day or two of them moving in than the whole previous year with our other neighbors who had become friends of ours. We invited them over for dinner that first day. I'm like, what's going on here? We're just jumping right into this thing. All right. You know, but we got a glimpse of, you know, who they are. And we could have decided at that point, like, oh, okay, well, like, we tried and I don't know, like, kind of messy. And so, you know, we could just kind of decide to kind of, you know, seclude ourselves and do our own thing and not really jump in anymore. Right. We have that choice. Or we could decide to take the time and the energy and whatever sacrifice and just jump in. Just enter into the mess that every kind of human relationship is, right? It's always messy. God gives us this example. Adam and Eve, what do they do? Second half of verse 8. Well, they go into hiding. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now again, this is God, right? It's kind of ridiculous that they would think that they could, like, hide from him. That would be kind of like me thinking that I could hide from you all, like, behind the music stand. You can't see me, right? No, yeah, it's ridiculous. And how are they thinking that they can actually hide from God, right? But they do. They do. And in verse 9, you know, God could have just been like, look, you know, I see you there. Like, what are you doing? You know, he could have just done that. But no, what does he do instead? He actually, like, asks them the question. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? He didn't just go and point at him and say, dude, I see you. No, he says, where are you? He tries to draw them out of hiding. He wants to give them a chance to make themselves known. Where are you? And, you know, even though Adam and Eve decided to hide out of their shame and out of their fear, you know what I'm really glad about? Like, I'm actually glad that as God, like, tries to draw them out of hiding and gives them a chance to make themselves known, that actually, like, I'm glad that Adam responds and doesn't just, like, keep trying to hide. He responds in verse 10. He said, "Well, I mean, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And I'm so glad that Adam just responds, comes out of hiding, and is at least honest about their fear. Right? He's at least honest about the fear and the shame that they're experiencing that caused them to feel like they needed to hide. He's honest, you know, even though what comes next after this is God, I mean, needing to confront them with the truth. Right? And then we see how messy it gets from there, right? All the blame shifting and Eve made me do it and the serpent made me do it. And I mean, talk about mess. But God draws them out. They respond. They're honest. Even though what comes next, there's consequences that have to come out of this. But you know what? As they come out of hiding, even though there's confrontation, there's consequences, it's messy. They are coming out of hiding and entering back into relationship with a God who actually like loves them and is so gracious to them. And you know how we know that is because in chapter 3, verse 21, just several verses later, it says this: "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." Very gracious of God, because Adam and Eve, they tried to like kind of cover themselves, right? They tried to cover their own shame with fig leaves, and then they hid out of fear to avoid their shame and their fear of being exposed in this relationship with their Creator. But God entered into the story. God drew them out of hiding, and God ultimately covered their shame. God did that. And we know from the rest of the story, from what happens in God's story over time, that God continued to enter the story. And ultimately, God entered the story, his story, really, through Jesus, right? Jesus became us. It's amazing to think about. We were created in the image of God. Jesus was created in the image of us. And that's powerful. Jesus became us in order to show us what it's like to live a life that is totally free of shame, the way it was supposed to be, the way it was at the beginning. A life free from shame. A life free from fear. Jesus came, and again, the example that he showed us is that kind of life. He came to continue to enter the mess, right? He as the message says, he put on flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, right? He entered into the mess. He met us where we are in order to, even as God did in the beginning, to draw us out of hiding. Think about Jesus' life and the way that he interacted with people, his disciples. Even like, it made me think of Zacchaeus, right? Dude, Zacchaeus, like, get out of the tree. I want to like enter your story. All right, I'm going to have dinner at your house. And then Zacchaeus' life is totally changed, radically transformed, right? God, Jesus, like, he comes to draw people out of hiding. He even says to somebody that comes to him, says, "I want to follow you, Jesus." Like, what if you? And he says, "Well, listen, you've got to understand that foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And what I take from that is that Jesus is saying, "Look, if you're going to follow me, like, there's not going to be anywhere for you to go and hide. You're not just going to be able to go home at the end of the day and let your hair down and kind of use that as a way to escape. If you're going to be in a relationship with me, if you're going to follow me, then it's going to be this authentic community. It's going to be raw. I'm going to see you at your worst." And that's what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus. There's nowhere to hide. And then Jesus ultimately died to once and for all cover our sin and cover our shame so that we could live inauthentic, this idea that true and genuine community with Him and with others. A few thoughts, challenges for us as we close. First one is this. We all experience shame and fear. We all do. And the reason I know that is because the first people did. And the fact that they did means that it has trickled down to all of us. We all experience shame and fear. From the beginning, that's the way it's been. So if you are sitting here this morning and realizing that, and it's hitting you, and you somehow thought maybe you were the only one who was like experiencing the type of shame and fear that you feel, congratulations, you're normal. Okay, we all experience it. Everybody else that's in this room experiences it. Maybe we experience it in some different ways or whatever. We all experience it. Second thing is, again, we know this because it happened in the beginning. We all hide. We all hide. Maybe some of us hide to different extremes than others. Maybe we all hide in different ways. We all hide. We were created for community, and here's the thing: like we actually want to be known. That's kind of part of what it means to be created the way we were. Like we actually want to be known. The problem is that we tend to hide. We all do. Because of the shame and the fear that sin produces in us. We want to be known, but it's so hard for us to just come out of hiding and be known and give people a chance to know us. It's hard to be vulnerable. You know, the saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, in this case, like when the going gets tough, when it becomes uncomfortable, we just go and hide. And like I said, we hide in many different ways. I mean, for some of us, it may be that we put on some kind of mask where we feel like we have to have it all together, right? I mean, I'm a pastor, right? So for me, I might hide behind the fact that I'm a pastor and think, well, like, I can't, you know, I got to act like I have it all together. I'm a pastor. Like, I gotta set the example of, like, having it all together. No. That's poor theology on my part. The example that I want to set for you all is to be more open, more vulnerable. It doesn't mean like airing all the dirty laundry or anything like that, but I always want to err on the side of being more vulnerable and more open, because I'm broken just like you. So I may hide behind the fact that I'm a pastor, right? My position as pastor. We may hide with our job or our status. We may use our personality as a reason to hide. We may hide behind our family. Many different ways. And sometimes we even like create environments that encourage hiding. Right? I mean, our culture, I mean, individualism, this superficiality, lack of safety, like lack of feeling like there's a safe place. We use size as an environment for hiding. So even at GCCC, right? Even at Great Commission Community Church, this happens, right? I mean, and we highly value community, right? I mean, most of our people, if not all of our people, like all of you are involved in small groups and things like that, and you're connecting with people, and that is so awesome. But even here, we can create environments for hiding, and so that's one reason why I am like so glad and have been so encouraged as even this past year with our small groups. That the things that I heard from small group leaders, one of the most impactful things that our small groups did this past year was to give everybody in the group a chance to share their life story. To kind of think about it in terms of a timeline and, you know, significant events or significant people. Why? And why is that so impactful? Because that gives the chance. That's an environment for people to start to come out of hiding. To share their stories and allow other people to enter in. And we have our kids in here this morning, and we want to raise up our kids in this way, right from the beginning. And so actually the kids, their assignment for this morning was they were given a blank notebook, and their assignment was whether they're young and they can just draw pictures or whether they're older and they can write. The encouragement was write or draw like your life story in your notebook. We want kids to become comfortable with understanding what their story is all about and being comfortable in sharing that. Growing up, I was not comfortable in revealing my story. I just felt I had too much shame. I felt like inside I was just too dirty and too messed up. And so I was not very vulnerable growing up, not with my parents, not with the people closest to me. So that's been a journey for me. We don't want our kids to be in that place where they don't feel like this is a safe enough place, or our families or parents or friends or their church family is not a safe enough place for them to be vulnerable, to share about their story. We want to raise them up that way right now. Let's make sure that Great Commission Community Church is a place where there is nowhere to hide. Just like Jesus said, the example that he set. There's nowhere to hide because we are willing to make ourselves known. We are willing and intentional about entering into one another's story. And that is where authentic community can happen. We envision people living in authentic Christian community where we grow in love for God and neighbor. And so I want you to just reflect on a few questions this morning as we close. Whether you want to close your eyes and just be in kind of a state of silence and prayer as you hear these, whatever would be the best way for you to take some time to receive these questions to be able to allow God to speak in. First question this morning is this, just like God asked Adam and Eve, where are you? Where are you? Are you hiding? Are you hiding this morning? Come out of hiding. Make yourself known. Come out of hiding and into the arms of Jesus. Into the arms of Jesus, who is that safe, who can cover, wrap his arms around you and cover over your shame. In fact, he does more than just cover over your shame. He sets you free from your shame. Come out of hiding and into the arms of Jesus. Come out of hiding and into the arms of, hopefully, what here is a people that is safe. A people that will also show this kind of love to you. Come out of hiding and into the arms of people here that can enter into your story, meet you where you are, enter into the mess, and love you. Are you trying to cover your own shame this morning? Are there ways in which you feel like it's your responsibility to do that? Where you have this shame and this fear and you don't know what to do, but you feel exposed and you feel like you have to do whatever it takes to cover it up? God has done that for you. You don't have to cover your own shame. God has done that for you through Jesus. Come on out. See what it is like to experience a life free of shame and free of fear and in authentic community with God and with others. And kids, as you have hopefully been thinking about this and writing or drawing or thinking about your life story this morning, even if it's only a few years or several years in the making, the question for you this morning is, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in your story this morning? Where does he fit? And if you can think about where Jesus fits into your story this morning, even now with your notebooks, like draw him in. Draw a picture of him in your story. Where does he fit? Write a sentence about where he fits in your life story this morning. I just want to give us just a couple of moments to sit in silence, to reflect. What is God saying to you this morning? What is the Spirit doing? How is God drawing you out of hiding this morning? Just sit for a couple of minutes and reflect on that. Pray. Open yourself up to God first and foremost, and then take that next step of coming out of hiding with the people around you, with the people that are here that want to love you and embrace you and that want to enter into your story no matter how messy it is. Please come out of hiding this morning. Enter into one another's story. And after just a moment of silent prayer and reflection, I'll close us in prayer, and then Kyung and the worship band will bring us a couple of closes. Let's pray this morning. God, thank you that you didn't disengage when Adam and Eve messed up. God, thank you that you chose to enter in. You chose to meet them where they were. You chose to give them a chance to make themselves known, as messy as it would end up being. You chose to enter into that mess. And you chose to do that over and over and over again throughout history, even up to this point. And you chose to even send your Son to become like us, to enter into the mess of the human story, to draw people out of hiding and into relationship, into authentic community, to ultimately lay down His own life so that we could experience a life that is free from shame, free from fear, and a life that is in true and genuine community with you and with others. Thank you, God. Draw us out of hiding this morning. Draw us out. May we be a safe place here at Great Commission Community Church for people who are coming out of hiding and ready to enter in, ready to enter into each other's story, ready to make themselves known, ready to find out what that means to be in relationship with you, to have their shame not only covered, but gone. Thank you, God. We bless you, and we love you. In the name of Jesus.